Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn and Mario Ritter Jr. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, new research suggests that dogs might be able to help save diseased citrus trees. A group of scientists trained dogs to use their sense of smell to detect a crop disease called citrus greening. The disease has affected orange, lemon, and grapefruit trees in the American states of Florida, California, and Texas. The dogs can detect the disease weeks to years before it appears on tree leaves and roots, the researchers report. A study on their findings was published recently in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The report says using dogs is also faster, less costly, and more exact than having people collect hundreds of leaves for lab analysis. Timothy Gottwald is a researcher with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and a co-writer of the study. He told the Associated Press, "This technology is thousands of years old, the dog's nose. We've just trained dogs to hunt new prey, the bacteria that causes a very damaging crop disease." Citrus greening is caused by a bacteria that is spread by a tiny insect that feeds on the leaves and stems of citrus trees. Once a tree is infected, there is no cure. The disease has also hurt citrus crops in Central and South America and Asia. In one experiment involving grapefruit trees in Texas, trained dogs were correct 95% of the time in telling the difference between newly infected trees and healthy ones. The earlier you detect a disease, the better chance you have at stopping an epidemic by removing infected trees, Gottwald said. Matteo Garbellato studies plants at the University of California, Berkeley. He says the new research shows that dogs can detect an infection well before current methods. Garbellato has been involved in similar research, but had no part in the new study. Laura Sims is a plant scientist with Louisiana Tech University. She praised the steps taken to find out if the dogs were detecting the bacteria itself or a plant's reaction to an infection. To do that, the researchers infected different kinds of unrelated plants with the bacteria in a laboratory. The dogs were still able to pick out the infected plants. Gottwald said, "You've seen dogs working in airports detecting drugs and explosives. Maybe soon you will see them working on more farms."
The Amazon River dolphin faces new threats because its meat is used as bait to catch a popular catfish. The fish-like mammal is considered intelligent and friendly. The animal is known as the pink dolphin because its skin turns from gray to pink as it ages or when it gets excited. But some wildlife activists are concerned about new threats facing the world's largest freshwater dolphin. Brazilian fishermen hunt and kill the animals illegally to make bait for a catfish called the piracuchinga. A temporary legal ban on fishing for piracuchinga ended last month. Since then, environmentalists and researchers have called for the ban to be restarted to help save Amazon dolphins. Bringing the fishing ban back is biologist Vera da Silva. She has been working to protect Amazon River dolphins for the past 25 years. Silva told Reuters news agency that she and her team catch dolphins to examine, measure, and mark them. The animals are then released into the Mami Rauá Sustainable Development Reserve in northern Brazil. Such wildlife areas are established to protect land and animals in places where traditional populations live. The Mami Rauá Reserve covers about 11,000 square kilometers of flooded rainforest and wetlands. "We captured a dolphin mother and her calf today and saw them calling out to each other," Silva said. "They have a very strong relation until the calf becomes independent after 3 years." After being brought to a floating research center in the reserve, Silva's team takes blood and milk samples from the dolphins. A pregnancy usually lasts about 13 months. The mother then feeds her calf underwater for 2 years. Because of this extended feeding period, females only reproduce every 3 to 5 years. Silva says this low reproduction rate increases the risk of extinction when the population of the Amazon River dolphins suffers major drops. Legal officials in Brazil's Amazonas state sought the catfish ban in 2015. At the time, they warned that as many as 2,500 dolphins were being killed each year for bait. Currently, Amazon River dolphins can still be found in large numbers across South America's huge Amazon and Orinoco river basins. But Silva says she fears the animals could disappear, like the Yangtze River dolphin did in China in 2006, after years of overfishing and pollution. "We don't want the dolphins to become just a legend of Amazonia," she said. I'm Brian Lynn.
A team of scientists plans to explore a little-known part of the ocean to search for new sea life and to investigate the effects of pollution and climate change. The scientists will enter what they call the midnight zone of the Indian Ocean. It is an area at a depth of about 1,000 meters below the surface, where light does not reach, but life still thrives. The project is expected to begin on March 16th and to last about 5 weeks. The scientists aim to explore huge underwater mountains, also known as seamounts. The scientists involved in the project are part of NECTON, an ocean research group that works with the University of Oxford in Britain. They are working with the Seychelles and Maldives governments in an effort to protect ocean areas. Oliver Steeds is the director of the NECTON effort. He told the Associated Press that the area his team will explore is home to many forms of life. What we do know is that beneath 1,000 meters, there's no light down there, but a lot of animals are bioluminescent. It's life that glows, he said. Speaking to AP in Barcelona, Spain, Steed noted that his team was going into an unknown part of the ocean. The NECTON scientists will be using one of the most modern deep-sea submarines in the world. It is named Limiting Factor. Last August, the Limiting Factor completed another project to dive to the deepest point in each of the world's five oceans. That effort was called the Five Deeps Expedition. The deepest of these dives took the submarine to nearly 11,000 meters below sea level. The Limiting Factor is built to withstand the huge pressure that exists in the ocean's deepest places. The compartment for the crew of two people is surrounded by titanium, 9 centimeters thick. The submarine also carries enough emergency oxygen for up to 96 hours. Robert McCallum is the leader of the expedition. He said vehicles that can dive deep into the ocean are rare. The scientists will use sensors and mapping technology to identify new species and landforms deep beneath the sea. But they also want to observe the effects humans have on the deep-sea environment. They will be trying to measure the presence of plastic pollution and possible effects of climate change. Limiting Factor crew already have seen evidence that pollution is affecting places considered untouched. In May, they saw a plastic bag at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, the deepest point in the world's oceans. Dan LaFolly is a marine expert for the International Union for Conservation of Nature, a group based in Switzerland. He said exploration of the Earth's living space is extremely important. He added, over 90% of that living space is in the ocean, and most of that ocean is unexplored. LaFolly said It is urgent, during a time of change, that we get people down there. We get eyes in the ocean, and we see what's happening. The Necton scientists will combine their observations with an earlier study of the deep Indian Ocean last year. They plan to present their findings in 2022. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The 1920s were a time of economic progress for most Americans. During the administrations of President Warren Harding and President Calvin Coolidge, many companies grew larger, creating new jobs. Wages for most Americans increased. Many people began to have enough money to buy new kinds of products. The strong economy also created the right environment for many important changes in the day-to-day social life of Americans. The 1920s are remembered now as an exciting time that historians call the Roaring Twenties. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe tell more about that period.
The 1920s brought a feeling of freedom and independence to millions of Americans, especially young Americans. Young soldiers returned from the World War with new ideas. They had seen a different world in Europe. They had faced death and learned to enjoy the pleasures that each day offered. Many of these young soldiers were not willing to quietly accept the old traditions of their families and villages when they returned home. Instead, they wanted to try new ways of living.
Many young Americans, both men and women, began to challenge some of the traditions of their parents and grandparents. For example, some young women began to experiment with new kinds of clothes. They no longer wore dresses that hid the shape of their bodies. Instead, they wore thinner dresses that uncovered part of their legs. Many young women began to smoke cigarettes, too. Cigarette production in the United States more than doubled in the 10 years between 1918 and 1928. Many women also began to drink alcohol with men in public for the first time, and they listened together to a popular new kind of music, jazz. Young people danced the foxtrot, the Charleston, and other new dances. They held one another tightly on the dance floor, instead of dancing far apart.
It was a revolution in social values, at least among some Americans. People openly discussed subjects that their parents and grandparents had kept private. There were popular books and shows about unmarried mothers and about homosexuality. The growing film industry made films about all-night parties between unmarried men and women. and people discuss the new ideas about sex formed by Sigmund Freud and other new thinkers. An important force behind these changes was the growing independence of American women. In 1920, the nation passed the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, which gave women the right to vote. Of equal importance, many women took jobs during the war and continued working after the troops returned home. Also, new machines freed many of them from spending long hours of work in the home, washing clothes, preparing food, and doing other jobs.
Education was another important force behind the social changes of the 1920s. More and more Americans were getting a good education. The number of students attending high school doubled between 1920 and 1930. Many of the schools now offered new kinds of classes to prepare students for useful jobs. Attendance at colleges and universities also increased greatly, and colleges offered more classes in such useful subjects as teacher training, engineering, and business administration. Two inventions also helped cause the social changes. They were the automobile and the radio. The automobile gave millions of Americans the freedom to travel easily to new places. And the radio brought new ideas and experiences into their own homes. Probably the most important force behind social change was the continuing economic growth of the 1920s. Many people had extra money to spend on things other than food, housing, and other basic needs. They could experiment with new products and different ways of living.
Of course, not all Americans were wearing strange new flapper clothes or dancing until early in the morning. Millions of Americans in small towns or rural areas continued to live simple, quiet lives. Life was still hard for many people, including blacks, foreigners, and other minority groups. The many newspaper stories about independent women reporters and doctors also did not represent the real life of the average American woman. Women could vote, but three of every four women still worked at home. Most of the women working outside their homes were from minority groups or foreign countries. The films and radio stories about exciting parties and social events were just a dream for millions of Americans. But the dreams were strong, and many Americans, rich and poor, followed with great interest each new game, dance, and custom.
The wide interest in this kind of popular culture was unusually strong during the 1920s. People became extremely interested in exciting court trials, disasters, film actors, and other subjects. For example, millions of Americans followed the sad story of Floyd Collins, a young man who became trapped while exploring underground. Newsmen reported to the nation as rescue teams searched to find him, Even the New York Times newspaper printed a large story on its front page when rescuers finally discovered the man's dead body. Another event that caught public attention was a murder trial in the eastern state of New Jersey in 1926. Newsmen wrote 5 million words about this case of a minister found dead with a woman member of his church. Again, the case itself was of little importance from a world news point of view, but it was exciting. And Americans were tired of reading about serious political issues after the bloody World War.
The 1920s also were a golden period for sports. People across the country bought newspapers to read of the latest golf victory by champion Bobby Jones. Big Bill Tilden became the most famous player in tennis. And millions of Americans listened to the boxing match in 1926 between Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney. In fact, 5 Americans reportedly became so excited while listening to the fight that they died of heart attacks. However, the greatest single sports hero of the period was the baseball player Babe Ruth. Ruth was a large man who could hit a baseball farther than any other human being. He became as famous for his wild enjoyment of life as for his excellent playing on the baseball field. Babe Ruth loved to drink, to be with women, and to play with children.
The most famous popular event of the 1920s was neither a court trial nor a sports game. It was the brave action of pilot Charles Lindbergh when he flew an airplane across the Atlantic Ocean without stopping. He was the first man in history to do this. Lindbergh flew his plane alone from New York to France in May 1927. His flight set off wild celebrations across the United States. Newspapers carried story after story about Lindbergh's success. President Coolidge and a large crowd greeted the young pilot when he returned to Washington. And New York congratulated Lindbergh with one of the largest parades in its history. Americans liked Lindbergh because he was brave, quiet, and handsome. He seemed to represent everything that was best about their country.
The 1920s were also a time of much excellent work in the more serious arts. We will take a look in our next program at American art, writing, and building during the exciting Roaring Twenties.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Melton. The U.S.